not a small thing. There's a Rashi at the beginning of this week's double parsha of Vayakel and Pekudei, where Rashi says on the words Vayakel Moshe that it's Lashon Hifil, which means that when Moshe gathers together people, you don't gather people together by physically pulling them together, but you gather them, as Rashi says, Al Pi Diburo, that he used his words to gather people together. So this is the new format for Jews gathering together. We gather together with words of Torah, and even though we're apart from each other, but Baruch Hashem, to get together to learn is a very, very special thing. And I really believe, as much as I have no clue what's really going on in the world, but Mikam Chi Yisrael, that the Jewish people find ways to keep going strong, and we show that we're serious. We're serious about our Talmud Torah. We're serious about figuring out how we're going to make Pesach this year. That's definitely something on our mind. I was thinking earlier today, and I heard someone mention, "Ushmartem es hamatzos." We know that we're very cautious with regard to the matzah, but the same Torah tells us in Ve'eschanan, "Veneshmartem ma'od lenafshoseichem," that we're very cautious about our lives. We take our own lives very, very seriously, and that's what we're doing. But as much as we're quarantining ourselves, and we're not able to interact in our usual fashions, and so many shuls and batei medrash have shut down, and schools. And it's really a shtickle pachad, what to make of all of this. But again, amidst the seriousness of the pikuach nefesh that's involved, we show that we're very, very serious about Torah, and we're serious about tefillah, and we're serious about making sense of things that are very hard to make sense of. So I want to begin by sharing two stories that I think about very often, and I've shared with some of you in the past, stories which I think will help us to understand how we should relate to this feeling of sort of being stuck. Heard a lot of people say, I feel very stuck in my place, stuck in my home, stuck in my neighborhood, just a feeling of stuck in one's avodas Hashem. And I want to share two stories. One is a story that Rabbi Reisman shared in his Sefer. It was written in his Sefer that was compiled a number of years ago. There was a couple that was traveling on an Erev Yom Tov. They were traveling from New York to Los Angeles to spend time with their mishpacha. And along the way, there was some mechanical difficulty with the plane, and they were forced to land the plane somewhere in middle America. And it was late, they were traveling Erev Yom Tov, which is already not such a simple thing to do. They would have had time had they had everything worked out okay, but now they were stuck. They found themselves in this airport. They're figuring out where they're going to go. They're not making it to Los Angeles for Yom Tov to be with their family. So they called the rabbi back in New York, and they were panic-stricken, and they said, Rebbe, you know, what are we supposed to do? We're stuck here. We're scrambling for Yom Tov. What are we going to do for Yom Tov? We're going to eat cereal. We're going to buy a couple bags of chips and pretzels and have Yom Tov in our hotel room. There's no Sefer Torah. There's no Minyan. There's no Yom Tov. There's nothing. And the Rebbe said to them, well, what did you say? So they said, Rebbe, we're stuck here. We're stuck here. So the Rebbe said to them, stuck? A Jew is never stuck. A Yid is never stuck. It's usher for a Jew to talk that way. We say in Shachris every single morning, we say as part of our Birchas HaShachar, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Meichin Mitzadei Gavar, which means HaKadosh Baruch Hu guides our feet. Hashem puts us where we're supposed to be. And if you find yourself in a strange city, he said the correct Lashon is to say that you're sent to that place. You're not stuck in that place. See yourself as a Shliach who's being sent on a particular mission, and you have to try to appreciate and to make the most of it, to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Hashem is Meichin Mitzadei Gavar. Hashem guides your footsteps, and Hashem guides your flights from New York to Los Angeles as well. And if you're stuck in Middle America, you're not stuck in Middle America, you're sent to that particular place, and maybe you'll be the first Jew to make Yom Tov in that place. An amazing perspective on a Jew never being stuck, rather a Jew is being sent. The second thing that comes to mind, another story that again I'm sure some of us are familiar with. Back in 2011, when former Chief Rabbi Jonathan Sachs was asked to speak at the Shluchim Convention for the Lubavitch Shluchim around the world. So he told about his first encounter, his first yechidus with the Lubavitch Rebbe. And he said he was a young person at the time, he was in college at the time, and he was describing this interest in meeting with the Rebbe to talk in philosophy and to talk in theology. He said he found himself in Los Angeles. He gets a phone call from one of the gabayim of the Rebbe. The Rebbe will meet with you on Thursday. He said he didn't have a lot of money. He couldn't fly from Los Angeles to New York. He said he boarded a Greyhound bus in Los Angeles, traveled direct 72 hours straight on the bus to come to 770 to be with the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And he walks into the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And now I'm going to quote to you directly from his transcript. directly the beautiful words that he shared at the Shulchan Convention back in November 2011. I came to 770, and eventually the moment came when I was ushered into the Rebbe's study. This is Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, Lord Jonathan Sacks. I asked him all my intellectual, philosophical questions. He gave intellectual, philosophical answers. And then he did what no one else had done. And this was part of a trip that Rabbi Sacks was taking to meet with great world leaders about philosophy. But he said the Rebbe did something to him that none of the other tzaddikim and the leaders who he met with did. He did a role reversal. He started asking me questions. How many Jewish students are in Cambridge? How many get involved in Jewish life? What are you doing to bring other people in? Now, I hadn't come to become a shliach. I'd come to ask a few simple questions, and all of a sudden he was challenging me. So I did the English thing. You know, the English can construct sentences like nobody else. They can construct more complex excuses for doing nothing than anyone else on earth. So I started the sentence, and here's what he said to the Rebbe. In the situation in which I find myself, and the Rebbe did something which I think was quite unusual for him, and it was. The Rebbe didn't interrupt people when they were speaking. But the Rebbe did something which I think was quite unusual for him. He actually stopped me mid-sentence. Nobody finds themselves in a situation. You put yourself in a situation. And if you put yourself in that situation, you can put yourself in another situation. And Rabbi Jonathan Sacks went on to say, that moment changed my life. When the Rebbe told me, there's no situation in which I find myself. We're not victims of circumstance. We're not here randomly or by chance. There's a Borei Olam who runs the world, who's put us in this situation. And what the Lubavitch Rebbe was challenging Rabbi Sacks to do, and he certainly did it over his, and continues to do it, through his illustrious rabbinic career, is to decide to make a choice that I'm going to make something of the situation. I'm going to choose to rise to the challenge. I'm going to choose to inspire. I'm going to choose to allow myself to be inspired. And I'm not going to allow myself to feel stuck. I'm going to be a shliach of Hashem, even if I'm not formally a Lubavitch shliach. So I want to go back, very, very basic, and ask ourselves, so where do we turn at this point? We've heard two amazing stories of being sent, not stuck, not to be victims of circumstance, not to declare ourselves as being in the situation in which we find ourselves, but to be proactive in owning the situation. So where do we turn for guidance? And the answer, of course, is the Torah. We always look to the Torah for guidance. So I want to be very, very simple. I want to go back to the very beginning of the Torah. The first word of the Torah is Bereshis. And more simple than that, the first letter of the Torah is a Bez. And Bez, of course, the Hebrew letter Bez is not just a sound that we produce, an arbitrary sound, but in fact it's a word. Bez means bias. And that's where we find ourselves. We're all trapped in our various batim. We're in our homes. We're spending a lot of time in the bias these days. And again, that could be a feeling of something very frustrating, a very b'di'eved, but I want to share with you, and I think it's emes, that with the right perspective, a person with the right attitude can realize there's something so lichatchila about what we're doing right now. Hashem started the Torah with the letter Bez, which means bias. I want to ask you a simple question, and I know you can't answer because I muted all of you. But the question is, what's the tachlis of creation? Why did Hashem create the world? What does Hashem want from this world? And it's a hard question. Chazal have different answers. The Svarim HaKadoshim have different answers. But certainly one of the answers that's found in the Medrash Tanchuma is the following. And I want to read you this Lashon from the Medrash Tanchuma, which again, Lubavitchers have made famous, but it's certainly a very authentic approach to what does Hashem want from this world. It's commenting on the words, Basi Lagani Achosi Kala. The words in the fifth parak of Shir HaShirim, Basi Lagani, I've entered the garden. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, says the Medrash Tanchuma Parshas Naso, HaKadosh Baruch Hu desired to have a dwelling place in the lower realm, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very comfortable in the transcendent upper realms. Bara esa Adam v'tzivoso. Hashem created Adam and he commanded him. Mikol etz hagan, from all of the fruits, from all of the trees of the garden, you should eat, you should enjoy. The etz hadas tov hara, don't eat from it. Va'avar al tzivuyav, and he violated HaKadosh Baruch Hu's command. Amar le HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, Adam, I gave you one thing. One thing I asked of you. Kach hayisi mesavish yeli dir b'tachtonim. All I ask, I just want to make a place for myself down below, and to make such a place, I need you to listen to my directives. So all I want is a place down below. And I commanded you one thing, v'lo shamarto, so and you didn't listen to it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu moved away one rakia. Kayin, and Hevel had their fight. Cain killed Hevel, and the Shechina moved back a little bit further. And this happened with each generation. We were driving HaKadosh Baruch Hu farther and farther away from this world, until, says the Medrash, Avram Avinu came, and he brought HaKadosh Baruch Hu down a little bit. Yitzchak came and brought Hashem back a little bit. Yaakov came and brought HaKadosh Baruch Hu down a little bit, with each generation, until finally Moshe came, and he brought HaKadosh Baruch Hu down, so to speak, all the way into this world. Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down on Sinai. And that was the fulfillment of Basi Lagani Achosikala. We got back to the original plan of creation, which was to make a dwelling place for Hashem. Eimasai, when was that truly fulfilled? Kishuhukam HaMishkan. When we read about the Hakamas HaMishkan, which is what all of these parashios are about, building a bias for Hashem, that first letter of Torah, that Beis of Bereshis, to make a Mishkan for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to make Hashem a place. But the truth is, the Mishkan, the Svarim tell us, the Mishkan is not really the goal. The Mishkan is sort of our collective fulfillment of that desire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have a place. This world, collectively, we can make such a space for Hashem. But really, the truth of the matter is, if we go back to the first time we hear about it in Parshas Truma, Va'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. And as the Al Shech HaKadosh explains, and many other Svarim HaKadoshim explain, it's not b'socham, it's not that I want to dwell within it, within the building, but rather, Iker Hashras HaShchina, I'm citing the words of the Al Shech HaKadosh, is Ba'adam, is within a person, is within you, and within your bias, within your home. Let's think about it for a second. Again, before we complain and feel stuck, how many times in our life have we said, Vishinantam Livanecha, Vidibarta Bam Beshivtecha Bevesecha? How many times have we been Makabal, O Malchus Shemayim, don't forget the Davin Ma'ariv tonight if you haven't yet, which means that if you have children, it's your obligation to educate your children. That's our obligation. For those of us who have children, most of the time we outsource that mitzvah to others. We appoint other people to educate our children. How about v'dibarta bam b'shivtecha b'veisecha? Speak words of Torah, learn Torah in your home. So people say, well, I go to a daf yomi shir in the shul, or I listen to shirim in the car, or I go out to a shir at night, or I listen to a class on the bus, right? How much learning do we actually do in our home? And the answer is, sometimes not enough. But now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us an opportunity. And again, there may also be an element of a heavenly rebuke in what's going on right now. I'm not saying otherwise. There's an element of a tochacha, and there's an element of a punishment of being stuck in our homes. But there's also a lichadchila, that the Borei Olam is pushing us back towards that Beis of Bereshis, towards that Dira B'tachtonim, that V'shachanti B'socham that we create in our own spaces. And now, our home is our shul, and our home is our Beis Medrash, and our children, and our spouses, and our internet chavrusas have become our talmidim and become our rebbeim. And it's an awesome opportunity. With the right attitude, it's an awesome opportunity, V'shinantam Levanecha, to teach our children, to learn with our family members, and B'shivtecha B'veisecha, to make our home into the Dira B'tachtonim of Tefillah, of Torah, of Shabbos, of everything that it could be and should be. This week is Parshas Vayakel Pekudei, and again, we're still learning about the Mishkan again and again and again. And I want to share with you the words of Rabbeinu Bachaya, who has a magnificent explanation at the beginning of Vayakel, explaining to us why is it that we're still talking about the Mishkan. We got it. Truma, we spoke about the Mishkan. Tetzav, we spoke about the Mishkan. Kisisa, we spoke about the Mishkan. We're nonstop. Vayakel Pekudei seems so repetitive. And Rabbeinu Bachaya, in his commentary on Chumash, says, on the words Vayakusha, Im tistakel b'sidarim eilef, if you pay attention to these parshios, Im som keilav nizkarm harbe pa'am, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hizkir l'Moshe shnei pa'amim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already told it to Moshe twice, Tchila hizkiru b'prat, first he told it to him specifically, in Truma Vayichuli, V'chazer v'hizkiru b'chlal, and then he mentioned it generally in Parshas Kisisa. And then he did it a third time. And now he's doing it a fourth time. And then he does it a fifth time. And he breaks down and he shows how each of these parshios is another repetition of the Mishkan. Five times in all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes us through that process of Hakamas HaMishkan. V'haya inyan l'hazkiru chamisha pamim. You know why? Hakol l'malas HaMishkan. It's all because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is obsessed with the Mishkan. V'derechiba, it's an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for the Mishkan. K'shem shematzinu shehizkir ha-kosev chamisha pamim Yisrael. If you remember in Parshas Ba'aloscha, there's a pasuk where five times in one pasuk, it says the name Yisrael. Five times in one pasuk in Bamidbar, Parachas, pasuk Yotes, five times it says Yisrael. And Rashi says, why does it say Yisrael, 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 Yisrael 5 times? Hakol derechiba umala. It's all because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is obsessed with Klal Yisrael. So why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say Mishkan, 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 Mishkan? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is obsessed with the Mishkan. And he compares it to the words of Eliezer Eved Avram, which are also repeated. Because again, whenever something's repeated even once, it shows how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves that thing. So yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is obsessed with the Mishkan. And again, when we say Hashem's obsessed with the Mishkan, it's not the transportable Mishkan of the wilderness, and it's not even the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, but it's making a space in our hearts and making a space in our home to allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu to dwell amongst us. And that's L'chadchila, and we're doing it right now. Klal Yisrael at large is doing it right now, and we have to make sure that we have the right perspective. I want to share one other perspective from this week's Parsha, which again I hope will be helpful to us in this time. And that is, if you look in the Parsha, it refers to Bezalel is the chief architect of the Mishkan. Bezalel, who the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos and Daf Nun Hey, understood how to combine letters the same way Hashem created Shemayim V'aretz. He knew how to do very mystical things in creating the Mishkan. And when we're introduced to Bezalel again in last week's Parsha, in Parak Lamed Aleph, in this week's Parsha, in Parak Lamed Hay, in Vayakel, it refers to him as Bezalel ben Uri ben Chur Lamate Yehuda. Why do I need to know that he's Bezalel ben Uri ben Chur? Why do I care who his grandfather was? Why do I care that he's from Chur, that he's a descendant of Chur? So the Medrash tells us that by Chet HaEgel, there was one individual who stood up and said, this can't be. What was going on with Aaron HaKohen? It's a very deep sugya. But there was one Jew who stood up and mamish fought, the Mesiras Nefesh, prepared to give his life in order to stop Chet HaEgel, and that was a Jew by the name of Chor. Chor stood up and he fought, and in dying to try to prevent Chet HaEgel, the Medrash says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised him, I'm going to give you a descendant, a grandson, who's going to have a great name in the world, and that's Bezalel, the grandson of Chor, who was the head architect of the Mishkan. But the question that's asked, the Sfarim wonder, what's the Midah Keneged Midah? What do we see in Bezalel that is reminiscent of what Chor did? Chor was Moser Nefesh to fight to stop Chet HaEgel. And because of that, he's going to have a great descendant whose name is Bezalel, who's involved in building a Mishkan. But what's the Midah Keneged Midah? How is Bezalel like Chor? So the Beis HaLevi has the following Yisod. It's quoted in the name of the Beis HaLevi. It's a little bit in the Beis HaLevi. I'm going to read to you a little bit of the Beis HaLevi. He doesn't link it to Chor, but I've heard it brought in the name of the Beis HaLevi in this way. And that is, in one sentence, what was Chor trying to do? Chor was trying to be Mekayim Ratzon Hashem. Chor said, I don't care what svar you could give me to explain why Chet HaEgel makes sense. We're not doing Chet HaEgel. It's not the Ratzon Hashem. Libi Omerli, I know in my heart this is not the Ratzon Hashem, and I will do anything to stop it, even if it means giving up my life. Bezalel, and really the Mishkan Bechlal, is a tikkun for those individuals who thought that they knew better. In other words, Bezalel, as I told you a moment ago, had this awesome ability to understand the deepest secrets of creation. But look by the Mishkan. What is the refrain that you see over and over and over and over and over again? Ka'asher tziva Hashem. I'm doing what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants. It's not a question of what I want. Oh, but I think maybe a little more gold over here, a little more silver over here. Maybe we could weave like this or like that. The bottom line is every pasuk over and over and over again. Ka'asher tziva Hashem. In other words, Bezalel made sure, with all of his brilliance and all of his creativity and all of his skill, which is described at length in the Chumash, Bezalel walked in the ways of his grandfather Chor to do the Ratzon Hashem. And not only that, who does Chor come from? Chor comes from Miriam. Chor is the son of Miriam, which means that Bezalel is the great-grandson of Miriam. Miriam also, when her parents separated out of a fear of Gezeras Paro, and she said, no one's having babies anymore. That's not the Ratzon Hashem. That doesn't make sense. Yeah, but the world's falling apart. How can we bring children into the world? Hashem gave you a mitzvah, pruervu. There's a mitzvah to populate the world. You do your part and let Hashem do his part. So you see that Bezalel comes from a legacy. Bezalel's lineage is one where he comes from a world of people who are making sacrifices to do Ratzon Hashem, no questions asked. Kasher tziva Hashem. Listen to the words of the Beis HaLevi, and you'll understand again how this is a tikkun for Chet HaEgel. Uveze navin mad de parshas pekude, de al kol prat uprat. As we finish Chumash Shemos, the Sefer of Golas and Geula, and halavai, this should be the end of Golas and the beginning of Geula. as we finish up Sefer Shemos Parshas Pekudei, for every step of the way, al maisa umaisa sha'asu b'mishkan, word, every phrase is capped off, kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. Bitzal didn't try to say his own chidushim. Va'tevos halalu k'suvim k'ma'at b'chol pasuku pasuk shabosa parsha. Says the Beis Halevi over and over and over again. Kasher tziva Hashem. V'halo davarhu. Says the Beis Halevi, that's not stam. That's an important thing to pay attention to. Rak ha'inyin demaisa ha'mishkan ha'rei bo lechaper aleim ha'maisa egel. The egel was thinking that we know better than a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The chet ha'egel is thinking, I know what's best. V'kevan de'iker chetam be'egel hayam asheratu le'ischake me'atzmam, to do what made sense to them, al pi yedi'asam v'chachmasam. So therefore the tikkun is to make a mishkan, and to use the brilliant and creative Bezalel, who's mevatel himself to his family legacy of doing what Hashem wants, because that's what Hashem wants. Klomer dagam shabetzalo hayodei letzarif osios shenivru behem shemayim varitz. Bezalo knew all sorts of mystical things. He knew all the ramazim. He knew all the secrets. And yet everything is done kasher tziva Hashem through the Mesorah that was given to him by Moshe Rabbeinu, and that is the kapara for Chet Egel. So my friends, as we're sitting here wondering, you know, what is it that Hashem wants from me? That's the question we need to be asking ourselves. I would like to go to shul. I would also like to go to the supermarket. But the Tinek Meir is telling me I should try to lay low. And the doctors and the poskim, in no particular order, they're all telling us that now is not the time for us to go to shul, and now is not the time for us to go to the Beis Medrash, and now is not the time for our children to be able to play with the kid next door. And we want to do a lot of things. We want. But the question is not what do we want, what does Hashem want from us? And Hashem wants us to go back literally to the Beis of Bereishis, to build that bias, to focus inward, and to do the Ratzon Hashem. Rav Chanan Wasserman in his Kuntres Divrei Sofrim quotes a pasuk in Yirmiyah. Listen to this pasuk: Uvanu as abamos habal. It's in Perek Yutes in Sefer Yirmiyah. Uvanu as abamos habal lisrof es b'neiim be'ish. There was a terrible avodah zara called Baal, and they would offer their children to the zara, as we see in Chumash in various periods of history, offering children literally through the fire. Olos labal, offering karbanos to Baal. Burning their children in fire, human sacrifice. And the Navi Yirmiyah says to us, by way of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, I don't want any of it. Asher lo tzivisi, v'lo dibarti, v'lo olsa alibi. Check out the pasuk, Perek Yutes, pasuk Hay in Yirmiyah. Asher lo tzivisi, I didn't command it, lo dibarti, I never said it, v'lo olsa alibi, and it never entered my heart. And if you look at the Targum on that pasuk, says Rav Chanan Wasserman, the Targum translates, Delo pakdis be'oraisi, I didn't command it in my Torah. Udelo shalachis biad avdai nevi'ai, I didn't send it by way of my Nevi'im. It's not a din derabanan. Velo ra'ava kadamai. The Targum translates, velo olsa alibi, it didn't enter my heart, as lo ra'ava kadamai. It's not my ratzon. It's not what I want. We want to go to shul. We want to get together. We want weddings to go on. We want simchas to be able to take place in our communities. We want to go to shul and hear Kriyas HaTorah. We want to daven with a minyan. We want to just be able to walk around the neighborhood and get within six feet of our neighbors and our friends. But Kasher Tziva Hashem, the building of the Mishkan, which again we put the finishing touches on this Shabbos, this week's Parsha, the building of the Mishkan is about Kasher Tziva Hashem. What does Hashem want? And if it's not in the Torah, and it's not in the Dirabanan, there's a third category, says Rav Chanan Wasserman. Lo olsa alibi, it's not my intention in my heart. V'lo ra'ava kadamai, it's not my ratzon. And therefore, the ratzon Hashem is not to feel stuck right now. The ratzon Hashem is to feel that we are sent on a mission. It's a strange mission, albeit a very unusual mission. But this is the ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this time. I want to end with one final story, and it comes from biography of Rav Avram Jenichovsky. For those who are familiar with it, it's a beautiful book. If you're not familiar with it, it's also a beautiful book. And he tells the story on page 150 and 151. The story also appears in the Hebrew biography of the Chazon Ish, the Pe'er HaDor, in the third volume. And it's about his grandfather. Rav Avram Jenichovsky told the story about his grandfather, Rav Shlomo Yosef Zatzal. And this Rav Shlomo Yosef, unfortunately, was very sick one year on Yom HaKippurim. And he wasn't able to fast. The doctors told him he's not allowed to fast. And he was terribly, terribly pained by this. So the Chazon Ish heard how this Rav Shlomo Yosef was very, very distraught. And the Chazon Ish went to be mechazik him. And I want to read you the words on page 150 of the biography of Rav Avram Jenichovsky. When the Chazan Ish reached the house, he said, I hear that the doctors say you must eat on Yom Kippur this year. He answered, Rav Shlomo Yosef Janachovsky said, yes, oy vey. The Chazan Ish then said to him the following, we are soldiers. A soldier does what his commander tells him to do. He says to stand, we stand. He says to sit, we sit. To run, we run. This is how we follow commands. There is a command not to eat on Yom Kippur, and a command that an ill person must eat on Yom Kippur. Rav Avram Zatzal said that his grandfather was genuinely calmed after hearing that from the holy lips of the Chazan Ish. And that's how we all have to feel right now. If Rav Shechter Shlita and so many other of our poskim and our rebbeim and our leaders and our doctors are telling us that this is the avoda for us, then like soldiers on the battlefield, we march to those orders without hesitating for a second. There's no sense of b'di'eved, there's no sense of feeling stuck, there's no sense of what does Hashem want? This is what Hashem wants. This is the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, as we learned this evening, it's really a fulfillment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's original desire of creation, to build our own bias into that bias for Hashem. So Hashem should give us the Yishuv Hadas to accomplish this mission, again, like soldiers on a battlefield, with a sense of calm and a sense of purpose and a sense of real drive and mission and confidence that we're doing the right thing. Even though at times it feels very, very foreign and it feels like this is not authentic Avodas Hashem. But again, if I'm listening to what is Rava Kadamai, what is the Ratzon Hashem, this is the Ratzon Hashem. This is the Tikkun of the Chet HaEgel. This is how we built the Mishkan once upon a time, and this is how we build the Mishkan this very day. So again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should just give us that Yishuv Adas, that clarity, and that peace of mind to realize, again, not to fall into that trap that Rabbi Jonathan Sachs fell into when he said, in the situation in which I find myself, we're not finding ourselves randomly victims of circumstance in this situation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us an opportunity, v'shinantam levanecha, v'dibarta bam, b'shivtecha b'veisecha, build your home into that beautiful Mishkan, and in Yirtz Hashem, each of us will be able to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu tremendous nachas ruach. Thank you so much for